Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. This is Dr. John. We've got a wonderful show lined up tonight. It's good to be here in a warm, balmy Carolina evening, the kind of weather that we like, 75 degrees, clear, and not a breath of wind in the air. So it is just wonderful down here in Pawleys Island. Glad to have full crowd with us tonight. Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling, how are you doing tonight?
Blessed to be here. I'm glad the weather's warming up here in the Carolina coast, and it's wonderful. I'm so ready for springtime.
Well, boy, I am too. Yeah, we're glad for the good weather. Glad to have you here, and got lots of great things planned tonight. David Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I screeched into the driveway with about 20 minutes to spare for the show tonight. Beautiful night out here, a little cloudy, got a decent amount of wind, but perfect night to be burning a cigar, but should have been doing that about 45 minutes ago, so if I light up now, I'll be up burning until midnight, and that doesn't quite work when you're working stiff, so going to be out here cigarless, man. It just doesn't feel right, but nevertheless, I will persevere.
Just when I was putting over the weather, Dave pretty much finishes it.
That's it.
Put the fork in it, it's done.
That's it. Doing the show without a cigar, it's kind of like when you drink 7-Up and you're like, this tastes funny. Well, that's right, it doesn't have any whiskey in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're glad to have you guys here. And tonight, we have a very special guest. We have Reggie Fullwood. Reggie is he is listed as the director of The Creature from Scape Ore. And what I'll tell everybody is this is a movie about none other than the Lizard Man that we're going to be celebrating June 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Lizard Man Festival. Reggie, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me on. Love talking about this type of stuff. So, you know, thank you.
What's going on? Good to have you on tonight.
Yeah, right.
This is great. I woke Reggie up this morning at 9 o'clock Pacific time. I don't know if he was up or not, but he answered that phone like a champ. And we're glad to have you, number one. We're really thrilled about the fact that you're making a movie. You are originally from Sumter County area.
Yeah.
We got some music going on there. So you're from you say the Shiloh area, which is very near Sumter, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm more like in the Timminsville, Lynchburg, Turbyville, Lynchburg area. You know, so a small town called Shiloh, you know, right off Highway 53.
So, right, I know all about Highway 53. Yeah. Driving over to Bishopville. Now, you put this movie together. There was an article in the Sumter Item, which is the largest of the local papers there in that area. It was about a year and a half ago, I believe, and it talked about you putting a film together about Lizard Man. So, first of all, it's called The Creature of Scape Ore. As we know, Scape Ore is the legendary swamp. Lizard Man was frequently seen. Why did you call it the creature from Scape Ore rather than the Lizard Man?
Well, I mean, my originally thought process is, I mean, most of the time when writers, I wrote it myself as well. We don't get focused on the title too much, so we just give it something, familiar. We'll go back and change the title, write for it, hit the theatrical release. But, I wanted something that I didn't want to take away from the town of Bishopville because I heard that they used to do a 10K run or something like that, featuring the Lizard Man for years. And I just didn't want to come in and, steal any shine away from the community, back there. Because, growing up in the area that I grew up in, a lot of people make their living off of, you know, Lizard Man merchandise and things of that nature. So I wanted to give it its own identity, you know, at first.
Wow, that's a great thought. That's a great way to, I guess, to show consideration for Bishopville and the notion of the Lizard Man. Now, and I'll say this: you are to be congratulated because so many people say, "I'm going to make a film," and they never get it done. I guess one of the couple critical elements of making a film, and Papa Stro, you're an actor, and I think you see this all the time. Number one, you got to have the right actors and actresses. I know that may be politically incorrect, but you got to have the right actors and actresses. You've got to have a good script. You've got to have a film crew, and you've got to have a budget. Now, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about how you put those elements together, and you filmed this what? Where all did you film Creature from Skateboard?
Some of it in South Carolina and then Los Angeles and in Florida, you know. So, you know, out in St. Augustine, you know, there in Florida, you know, right outside the Jacksonville area, you know, in various parts of Los Angeles and in South Carolina.
In South Carolina, you filmed it out in the Skateboard Swamp area.
Right.
Yeah, because that swamp extends all the way from Bishopville mostly towards Sumter, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's one of the surprising things for me. I mean, from getting in there and just actually taking an actual tour, you know, I'm surprised how it is. So I'm like, wow, this is, you know, actually, it's actually cool. But to follow up, I meant to finish, you know, my process. I mean, my what I was saying about, you know, putting this film together. You know, it was just one of those things where, you know, this was my first major film. I've worked on several films before, you know, doing intern work, little extras, and things of that nature. And when I started, my company, KB Productions, you know, the perfect film to do because, you know, horror films and a film that you can shoot, you know, documentary style, is a lot easier, say, if you want to do an action film or comedy or love, and, you know what I'm saying, things of that nature. So I was like, this is perfect, you know, to, you know, have this type of film be a hometown guy, get hometown buzz and, you know, publicity and, you know, followers behind the film and, you know, carry it like that. So that was like my thought process, you know, with that when I first started it.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So now how long before you started the film? It was, you know, about 18 months ago you were interviewed in the item you were going to do it. How far in advance did you have the idea you wanted to do a film like this about the legend in the area?
Actually, it started about 8 months prior, because you want to take in, you know, all the for me. You know, I wanted to, you know, take in, okay, you know, could I get the locals involved? You know what I'm saying? How can I, you know, make it look good, you know, on the screen and still, you know, get as many inexperienced people and involved? And sometimes that's hard. I wasn't able to get as many of the locals as I wanted to, due to budget restraints and, you know, weather, you know, there were so many hurricanes and so many things going on, and the East Coast and the fires on the West Coast. There was just a lot of things that was making production, you know, a lot difficult back then. But the whole process started, like, you know, about 8 months prior to when we actually start filming. And then, you know, I just went down and I just tried to come up with a story that I think that people would like, something that could be scary and, you know, something that people will look at and say, would like to see, won't think that, okay, hey, I've seen this type of movie before. You know, so, you know, that all that went into my thought process when, you know, trying to figure out how I'm going to craft this and how I'm going to bring it together and make it work. And you know, with a good team behind me, you know, we made it work. So, man, I'm very pleased with, you know, with everything that I've seen so far. And I think everyone that sees this movie is just going to be pleased with that as well.
Well, that's great. Now, we got Dave, who's a writer, and Pop Strode, who's an actor. Now, okay. When you talk about you wrote the script, and I'd like to invite Dave to chat in here a little bit with us. Is there any relationship between the story of the Lizard Man as told by Lyle Blackburn in his book, Lizard Man, The True Story of the Bishopville Monster, or is this a different story? Is this a fictionalized account that, you know, has like a beginning, middle, and an end, kind of like, oh, I don't know, compared to maybe like Lake Placid, because it, you know,
Lake Placid, yeah.
Lake Placid, yeah.
This
Betty White. We love
Betty
White. Betty White.
This has a little bit of both, but I said it gears more towards the similar. I mean, mirrors the original story, because the actual plot of this is, you know, it's about a young girl who returned home about 20 years later, you know, seeking answers from her father, who wound up missing, you know, doing a hunting trip to the Scapegoat Forest. So, you know, actually, in my, as I call it, investigation part, story development, I actually wound up talking to a young lady from the area, and, you know, she had somewhat of a similar, you know, story about that, and you know, I was like, okay, this would be perfect, you know what I'm saying, to you know, to have this be the apple of my movie so far. So
I
know that's a lot of information. So go ahead.
Well, when you said you wrote, you know, the script and everything that went along with it, y'all, first off, you got my undying admiration for anything done, filmed, or written about the Carolina swamps, because, you know, when you mention the word swamp, and I run into it often myself, where, you know, people picture like the bayou, where there's, you know, waterways and these great big huge mossy trees, and that's not what the Carolina swamps are like. The Carolina swamps here are like soggy forests, and you can be walking and all of a sudden you sink right on up to your armpits, don't even know what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, the creek beds are everywhere, cutting through everything.
Like
so swamping. I guess,
yeah.
Exactly. Hey, but you don't find Adrian Barbeau walking around out there. You don't ever get that lucky. But
I wish, and you can get lost. You know, that's the funny thing about it. Like how you know you think there's normally one way in, you know, one way in to a forest, and you just get lost. You know that's the you know that's one of the scary and the funniest thing at the same time. It's like how can there only be one way in to this, you know, swamp of forest land, and then you can still get lost while you're in there.
That's right.
It doesn't take much. Yeah. It doesn't take much. Once you get out of the sight of civilization, it's amazing how dense. You know, I've had friends of mine that are avid hunters that go out and, you know, the next day we're getting phone calls, hey, you never made it back in.
Right.
Just to have him tripping out of the woods at about 10 o'clock that morning with this mortified look on his face, shaking his head like, I just don't say anything, Dave. You know,
and one of the And one of the funniest things is that how they tie like little plastic bags or twigs and stuff together so they can find their way back out. And I'm just like, wow. See, I never, been a hunter or anything like that. I'm a farmer, growing up, but never been a hunter. Just like, wow, mm-hmm. It's just amazing. Like you take a old, can lid or a can wrapper, soda wrapper, and you put it on the tree and that mark your way, so you can find your way back out of the forest.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
the Reese's Pieces thing won't cut it, John, or the glow sticks. You have a little bit more.
Yeah, glow sticks only work on Bigfoot.
So to those that's not an active, hunter or out there, like if you go out into those forests, make sure you mark your territory because you will get lost,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how big of a challenge was it to film out there and all that?
It wasn't that. As difficult as I thought. I mean, outside of the bugs and, have to, worry about if any moccasins mm-hmm. or anything, crawling.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of things that I did was I made a lot of the scene that shot on green screen. I think that, that becomes a lot easier because you can make, a waterfall or, you can make a green screen. Does whatever you wanted to do. So, and I just wanted to put that in. But it wasn't as difficult outside of the element of the heat, the humidity,
mm-hmm.
and the bugs and stuff like that. So,
right.
But outside of that, it wasn't as fast as a lot of. I knew that I couldn't. I couldn't actually use the equipment that we were using and risk dropping it in the water and things like that, out there. So a lot of it is just, green screening, but a lot of it is just, areas, from that actual area. So, we came in, took stills and video certain things that I know that we could put it in the computer and use it, CGI and things like that. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hats off to you because if I'm writing a script for a movie mm-hmm. that I'm going to make, last thing I'm going to do is have it staged in the swamp just for filming purposes.
Right.
It's like, the first movie is going to be filmed on a deck.
There's no place like home, Dave.
Of all places to film one,
Yeah, because my fear, I'll always tell people that I want to send them back home, the same way they came, because a lot of mm-hmm. people don't know this, but, when you're on, shoots and stuff, sometimes, people get killed sometimes, they're accidents. So it's
right.
like so many things that you have to, take in consideration. And, I just wasn't willing to take any chances, with anyone's life as well as mine. But, But I wanted people to be able to see, as much as the actual, natural side of skateboarding. So, all of the, the traveling and everything was done in other bigger cities. But when you see all the swamp scenes and everything, that's actual footage from, from South Carolina, from skateboarding. So none of that is from, Florida or, California, anything like that. So all it is from mm-hmm. South Carolina. So it's just, I just use the bigger city for, the planes and traveling and things on that nature, and just but every day the outside, everything that you see on the outside with all the action and everything, certain movie that is 100%, there in escape already. So I use very little CGI for that because I really want people to see that and like, man, this is a nice place. I wonder where that place is. So they, mm-hmm. be able to, go and visit a place one day. So,
right.
And then
right.
that will also help, that will also help the, the Bishopville and surrounding areas as well.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I remember. Go ahead, Dave. Yeah.
Oh no, no, you're good, John. I was just going to mention about Paris Island because when I lived down there, you know, and if you've ever been down there to Paris Island and Beaufort area, Frogmore and all that, you really, you know, that's another. It's nothing but swamp down there, just the same. And
yeah, Yamasee and all those places. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've got those rats out there, and they got different names for them. They've got I've heard. You know, they've got, because they actually live on the salt water in the marsh.
They would love willard.
Sawgrass and everything. And
he would love
they
Willard.
Eat,
Willard,
yeah, Willard
by the movie, by the rat?
Willard the rat, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
They get big because they eat the conchs down there. You know, the great, you know, the snails and everything, and I guess the protein in them, I mean, it blows these things up. So when you see them, you're thinking, oh, those are possums. No, those are rats.
Yeah, rats.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, folks don't understand when you get into the marsh and the swamp. Yeah, I know they got the gators in the bayou and all that nifty kind of stuff, but Lord have mercy, there's some stuff that was hanging out with Tyrannosaurus Rex with crawling around the Carolinas, man. And
kind of like the one Rocky going around Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the mystery, how huge they get. Like, what do they eat that, you know, makes them this big, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
It makes you think, like, people would bring them in and want them for pets or something, you know. Like, wow.
Thank God, no.
You know, like they're huge. Like, until you actually see them, you're like, wow, no, that can't be a rat. Like, you know, what was that, you know? So, you know, it's. You know, like I love South Carolina wildlife because there's nothing like it because it's like so much mystery, to it, and there's beauty to it as well, you know. So, I like it.
All right, and so we've talked about the writing a little bit. Now, what I wanted to do is talk a little bit about the actors in the film. I mean, you know, who are they, and tell us a little bit about them. And Papa Strong, he's our acting expert because he's in so many films and television shows, television commercials. He's on, you know, and all of this. So this, you know, tell us a little bit about your cast and how did you find them?
Well, Papa Strong knows as well. You know, the casting. You know, what I'm saying, it's going to make the bump to your budget. You know, what I'm saying, it's as well. So, you know, I wanted to take, some up and coming actors. You know what I'm saying? That's not quite made it. Just right there on the cuff. That would make it a lot easier for me being, you know what I'm saying, a first time, you know, director. A lot of it was we. Did some casting call out in Los Angeles, and I used Central Casting, to help me cast, the main roles. I mean, the main actress in there, and then I picked up some supporting along the way, and they were huge. I mean, a lot of them, you know, I couldn't tell you what they were in. a lot of, like, I don't get a chance to watch a lot of MTV stuff and reality shows. So, you know, that was one of the weird but interesting things that, you know, I come to find out through this whole process that a lot of actors does a lot of, reality shows and stuff like that on MTV and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of my, you know, never... No, never heard of, never seen, but, you know, their bio and their, real, you know, speak for itself. But I knew that if I kept it small, and, you know, we all, like, we rehearsed a lot, And so chemistry is one thing that you worry about as a director. And, you know, I knew if I could keep, you know, keep the cast somewhere within the 5 and 6 range, which, you know, which is, it's only like five actors, anyway. So, and, we rehearsed that we would over a period of time, gel and make it work in such a short period of time. Normally it's not done that way, because you know, Papa Stroll, you know how hard people think that it can just easily come together, like you can write for this person or that. It don't always come together like that. And
right.
Sometimes you never know what you're looking for until you get to the audition process, because there were mm-hmm. periods of time where I thought I was going one way with a character, and then I saw someone at audition and it just took me a whole different way. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a couple of people that's, you know, on the up and rise, and you know, a lot of them haven't did any mainstream things. A lot of it is just, you know, some reality extras and things like that, which was at that time I was more concerned about fitting everything in the budget. So I knew that a lot of my money had to go into post production, because if I wanted this to look like an actual film, you know, that's where I had to throw a lot of my money. I really didn't have the budget to go out and just, you know, bring names to carry this. So, you know, I decided to bring that in using my editors, using other people that works in post production, you know, to help add polish to that. And that's how, you know, that's how I got it.
So who are the stars? Who are the stars of your movie? Who are they? What are the names?
Well, now there's one guy. Hold on, let me get this to you. I'm so bad at this. Just bear with me for 1 second.
Sure.
Click on this. Because as we speak, I mean, we're in the process. I already started working on the second movie called Bonus Check.
Oh, great!
But yeah. So yeah, that's another comedy movie. So as an independent filmmaker, you just have to keep putting movies out there. You know, you have to build a catalog. So that's what it is. But right here, I'm just waiting for my file to load.
Yeah. So while you're waiting on that to load, how long did it take you to actually film the whole thing from start to finish, from coming to Skateboard Swamp, doing what you had to do in Florida, and then doing what you had to do in LA?
Right.
How long did that process take you?
Well, I mean, the whole process took probably about 45 days, and a lot of that was because of the fires in Los Angeles and hurricanes on the East Coast. So that made it, you know what I'm saying, a lot difficult, you know, trying to get people from one coast to the next, and, you know, and travel. So, to, you know, 2017 was, you know, was a monster when you sit and think about the, you know, the elements of the weather and, excuse me, the fires and mudslides and things of that nature. So,
wow. I mean,
yeah,
when
so,
you talk about
yeah,
hurricanes, which, do you remember which hurricanes bothered you the most? So apparently you were not filming in 16, were you?
No, this was in 17. We started in one said we started in September, like right after Labor Day. It was like September 8th or somewhere in there. And we did like we did 2 days. Like I don't remember the I don't remember the hurricane name in Florida. You know, and the funniest thing, the only hurricane I can remember is Hugo. But if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Matthews that they had on the East Coast. Yeah, I'm not sure what the hurricane was, but I know it was. It made it difficult, you know, getting into, you know, getting into the East Coast, you know, especially like Florida was delayed, you know, because of the hurricane.
Yep, and so you started out in Florida, then you came on up to Lee County and Sumter County. That was the next stop on your filming.
Yeah, Sumter County. A lot of that. What happened was that me and then, you know, production took a cameraman and the director of photographer, and we came in, and then we shot a lot of the actual what I call blank slate, you know, videos and still that we can just put into the green screen, and you know, and then, you know, mask the actors on the back of that, because bringing them from LA to Florida was expensive, and for the short period of time, you know, I really didn't see any point bringing them into actually South Carolina, because, you know, once we shoot the slates and the blank, then we can just, you know, put that on the green screen and make it seem like they were already there. So, you know, that was, you know, one thing that we didn't have them, you know, have to travel to South Carolina with us. So we just use a couple of extras. Extra people that travel with me. So,
gotcha. So, and then you went, after you finished on the East Coast in Florida and in South Carolina, you then got on off to LA and you used a sound stage out there to complete the rest of the project with green screen, right?
That's correct. Yeah, and you know, I also used have a green screen studio. You know, there in St. Augustine that I was able to use for a couple of days as well while I had the actors in there. So, you know, we would, on their off day, we would, you know, go into South Carolina, grab the footage that we need, bring it back up to Florida. So our next filming day, we actually, you know, had it in, you know, while we're actually filming, you know, it makes it seem like, okay, they're already there. So it was like 24 hours work basically for me, you know, so there was really very few off days for me. But at the same time, it allowed me to stay on budget and, you know, not going over. And, you know, as the other two would tell you, like, sometimes that's hard, you know, staying on budget, because things happen, you know, equipment breakdown, you know, it's like sometimes it's very hard to stay on budget. But, you know, that was one of the problems that I didn't have.
So you were very strict on staying within your budget to get this project finished.
Yeah, well, you have to, you know, and that's, you know, one of the number one killers, because sometimes, you know, when you go over budget, production halts. So sometimes people are like, man, why it took them, you know, 5 years to make this movie. And that's because, you know, when you go over budget, you know, you just don't have the money to make the film. So you have to find the money from somewhere else. And, you know, so that was one of the things for me going into that. You know, I decided where majority of my money was going to go, because I know that post production is where your actual project comes to life. You know, the actors and everything else, I mean, they're important too, but, you know, if you don't have a, you know, good sound guy and, you know, to do the color grading and all those other things, that finished product, because it looks nothing when you're filming it. It looks nothing like, you know, what you see, that finished product. You know what I'm saying? So it's quite boring when, you know, the whole filming process. But but at the end, when you see it, you're like, wow, you know, this how it looks. But yeah. And yes, it's up. Yes, because sometimes I zip files because it's like I'll be quick to quick to delete them and stuff like that. But yeah, that's what it is. So yeah, we have Derek Johnson. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the main Wendy Jargers, JRGES. She did some Nickelodeon stuff. Thomas Morris, he did some sci-fi stuff. I think he's in Shark Tale 2 or 1, something like that, he said. Elizabeth Mackey, she was just a local actress, here in Los Angeles. And, Carrie James. That was it. So they have, some, an impressive, resume when you look at, well, one of the things that I look at is that I look at, how well an actor knows their mark. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, oh, I can do this, I'm funny, I'm the life of the party, and then you throw the camera on them and they're lost. So, I tell people all the time, acting is more than looking good and knowing your lines. You gotta know your marks. You gotta be able to, communicate, with the camera without looking at the camera. And that was one of the things that blew me away. What made them special to me, even though they were not the the most seasoned actors, as far as doing a lot of big name projects, anything like that. But they were able to follow directions and hit their cues, and that's huge and so important. So if any inspiring actors, actresses, listen to us, get yourself a good acting coach, and just absorb as much as you can, because it's very, very important. Because you can be a good actor, but if you don't, know what you're doing, then that's like talent on the waste. So it's like it's very, very important that people just understand that being an actor, is more than, just looking good on camera or just knowing your lines. So you really have to study for this. And you guys can back me up on this, that it's like it's not as easy as a lot of people think it is. You sit home and you watch someone on television, you're like, man, that's easy, I can do that. And it's not. Am I right?
A big grin on my face. Papa Stroh, this is talking directly to you. How easy it is to be a wrestler. Right?
It's just, it's like anything else. I mean, you have to, it's like you said, I mean, it's more than reading a bunch of lines and being there. You have to know your marks. There's a lot of things that go into being a good actor, as well as you mentioned, being a good wrestler as well. You have to pretty much live it. You have to put yourself in that role, in that position, and that character. You're telling the story with that the people are watching. I mean, you have to make the people watching believe you're actually that role that you're portraying, and in every sense of the word. So you know, when it comes time to action, it's game time, you know.
Exactly, and some people, I was watching. I caught snippets of the view the other morning. I was heading toward the shower, and I heard Whoopi Goldberg. She was saying that how she played a part one time, and that character stayed with her for, you know, saying for almost 2 years, and you know,
yeah.
that's what happens. It becomes a part of you, and you know, it's like you're not you for a while. You know, it just, you know, it's like you're just so consumed with being with being whoever that role calls for you to be. So it's, you know, it's draining. And you know, I'm, you know, so have so much level of appreciation. I mean, not only for the actors that work for me, but you know, anyone that, you know, that does it, you know, that, you know, the work that goes into that, you know. So, you know, it is. So, but if any listeners and, you know, want to, you know, be actors or, you know, even directors or anything, just learn. Sometimes it's not always, you know, about having to pay money to go to a particular school or something like that. You can always do workshops and, you know, fine tune your craft. You know, I always tell people never create more debt. You know what I'm saying? To go out to chase a dream. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take the cheap run. As you make money, just go ahead and then pay, you know, over time. So, you know, you're just amazed how many people go out just to try to be models and, you know, pay all this money and, you know, never heard from again. So.
Yeah, it's big in the book business like that, because you got guys out there that'll say, all right, well, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to publish your book, and I'm going to make banners, and I'm going to contact this guy, and I'm going to contact that guy, and this, that, and the other. And if you got $2,500, I'll get to work, and then we'll split the royalties. And you stop,
yeah.
And you know, when you're a brand new writer, you're going, hot damn, I finally hit the big time. But then on the meantime,
yep.
You're going, wait a minute. I'm already $2,500 in the hole. So you've got to sell. And, you know, like I always say, don't ever write a book because you think you're going to be rich doing it. There's an awful lot of ramen noodles consumed in authors' homes. And
I love,
you know,
ramen noodles.
Yeah, we don't write by candlelight because it sets the mood. We write by candlelight because it cuts the damn lights out.
Right.
You know. You got to, you know, you got to have a certain passion for it. And if you don't, there's going to be somebody that's going to take advantage of you quick. And before you know it, you're,
exactly.
You know, you're down four digits. You ain't even sold your first book yet. So,
exactly.
Yeah. It's
do your homework.
Real
yeah.
easy.
Do your homework. Yeah. And, yeah, just, you know, that's very important, you know, for all the listeners, you know, out there, whether it's, you know, modeling, acting, booking, I mean, whatever it is. Because the sad part about it is that it's legal, you know. I mean, there is,
yep.
I mean, it's not morally right, but people
mm-hmm.
can do it and get away with it. So you know,
right.
got to be careful. Sometimes you can't be too hungry to trace that, you know, to chase your dream to where you able to, you know, lose everything that makes sense. So I've always tell people and people that's listening right now is that 9 times out of 10, if you have to pay, you know what I'm saying, an excess
Run.
Of a lot of money to do something up front, then it's not worth it. Because
mm-hmm.
if someone believes in you, you know what I'm saying, they're going to get the money, you know, after. They want to ask for that money up front. They'll say, okay, hey, look, I'll do this, you know, we'll get money on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, that's, you know, that can help somebody listening tonight, you know, who might be at a crossroads right now with either acting or modeling or want to, you know, write a self-help book or something like that.
Wow, that
you know,
that,
I was going to say, there's a, oh, I'm sorry. I was going to
no,
say,
no, go ahead, go ahead. I'm
I remember watching the James Brown movie that came about not too long ago. The new James Brown movie.
Get on up.
The recent one.
Get on up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
get on up, yeah.
When James Brown was talking to his band, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the scene where he's talking to his band, and it was like he was talking about his drummer and talking about the horn section and all that, and he was telling them, look, every he wanted his band to all have the same rhythm, you know, just like his drummer did, you know, be all in unison, be all in sync. And once they started getting that groove on, I mean, it was just like magic, you know. And it was just the point being, you know, I mean, everybody has to be in tune and on their mark to make anything successful, whether it be a great band or whether it be a great film or a match or making a great book. So everything has to be in sync on the same rhythm. And it was just that particular scene, it was just – it really hit me because, I mean, it was just like – that's just like anything else you apply to. Everything has to be on mark, you know, and
right.
intertwined. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? To make it work. Yeah, that was a perfect example of, you know, how important it is, you know. So, yeah, that was good, you know. So, you know,
yeah.
So hopefully tonight we, you know, we save someone for making a big mistake tomorrow. So,
and if they're wondering how we know, just ask.
I know.
A lot of burn marks, you know what I mean?
I think another day, another time, I think we all have stories that where we were just taking, we just look back at what were we thinking, you know? So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know it. Yeah, and you know, Reggie, we got a couple of call-ins. I want to see, you know, first of all, who's calling in from area code 904 down in Florida? Do we have anyone calling from 904? Yeah, well, who's calling in for area code 301 out in Pompano?
I guess they all.
Lizard Man pranking us.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be Lizard Man pranking us. I
want to drop him off the Lizard Man to prank us tonight.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, but anyway, you're right. Now, tell us about you told us that you'd probably be able to get an extended trailer for us for the Lizard Man Festival
right.
to tell everybody. And
right.
then, what do you think about releasing this film?
Because after speaking with you earlier, and you know, I. think that's such a good idea for the community to try to do an annual festival or something like that. You know, I decided what I could do is instead of doing a screener, you know, I can probably do what is normally called as a preview. So I can probably preview like the first 5 or 10 minutes of the movie. On top of the trailer. Well, the trailer will be out, here in a couple of weeks. What I can do for the purpose of the festival is just release like a 5-10 minute preview of it, and then we'll go from we'll be able to go from there. So I don't really want to go any further than that, because then it hurts me on the back end, for recouping money that was already invested into this film. I can definitely do that, you know what I'm saying, for you guys, you know, to help out the community. And And then I think it would go, a ways to help the film as well.
Well, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it. So how do you anticipate the actual distribution going? You'd mentioned earlier this morning when we talked, you thought about the summer and then you thought about the fall. So tell us a little bit about that thought process.
Yeah, I'm a little conflicted, and I have sleepless nights about this. And you know, as you know, I wear so many hats with this project. But one of the things that I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about probably pushing it back. You know, saying maybe another 60 days from the original July 25th release, and that's because the summer blockbuster movies is going to be out, and you know, I think that you know it won't do my film justice to try to put that up against a lot of the summer, you know, blockbuster films. You know, I haven't made a decision on that as I speak with you right now. You know, I still have it at July 25th, and you know, maybe you know over you know the next month or so, you know, I would you know have a definitive decision one way or another. But you know, I'm thinking, I'm like, maybe it's not a good idea to put it against the you know the summer blockbuster you know hits you know that's going to be releasing here over the next couple of months. So that's you know that's one of the you know thought process in there, and you know won't be a bad thing. You know, I think because you know it's a horror film, and then you know this you know September. October time frame is getting close to Halloween, so all the summer blockbuster films will be out of the way. But I shall see. You know, I'm going to take some time and look at this carefully and make sure that I, you know, do my film and myself good justice. When you know what's the best idea? I mean, the best way to handle this. So that's where I'm at on that, and that's what I was sharing with you earlier today. So as you can see, it's like you know, there's so many things that goes in. You know, when you mm-hmm. you know putting the film together, sometimes the films that's actually made and they're not, you know, not even out yet. You know, it's just that's how it goes sometimes. You know, sometimes you want to, you know, give your film a fair shot, and you know, sometimes I think with me being a first time director, you know, a lot of you know people that's not established, you know, in the film industry. You know, it's like putting up against, you know, Hollywood blockbusters. I don't think that's going to be a smart thing to do. And as an independent filmmaker, you know, I mean, you have to pay to get your film, you know, in the movie theaters as well. So it's not like where you have a back end of, you know, Lionsgate and anyone like that, and you know they go ahead and take care of everything for you. Know that has to come out of me. So it's like, you either pay it or you don't get it in the movie theater. You just go straight video on demand. So that's where I'm at, you know, with that. So I hope I didn't lose, you know, too many people with that.
Explanation. I want to direct this next question to Papa Stroke. Reggie probably does not know about the film that you've got coming out. Tell us a little bit about it. You talked a little bit about it last night on WCW Retro, but tell us a little bit about the film and where it's going to be premiering, and then I'll talk to Reggie about this potential line of early distribution. Take it away, Papa Strode.
Yeah, thank you. I think the particular film John's talking about is the film documentary that's coming out on yours truly, like my career. And what I've been through, the ups and downs, and the advice I give, and what lies ahead. It was a very candid film. They'd follow me doing like everyday activities and all the training and the rituals I would do to prepare for a particular matchup, and talk about some of the films I've done and like some of the highs and lows points of my career and life in general, and the mistakes I've learned from through the years, and the advice I'd give to people that are kind of breaking into industry or just in life in general, how to deal with certain things. So it's a very real approach to what a lot of us in the entertainment industry and the athletic field, they deal with. We deal with from time to time, to where, you know, when the lights aren't on you and all that, some of the positives and negatives you deal with each and every day. And so it's a very, it's an inspirational film, but at the same time, it's kind of like a learning film at the same time, to where you to understand one's struggle through fame, through the journey getting there, as well as the journey pursuing forward. So I'm really looking forward to watching the premiere. And the premiere will be the last week of April, I believe. I know I'm going to be making personal appearances at the River Run International Film Festival, where they're premiering at throughout the week. But I'm going to make appearances April 22nd at 3 p.m., and then again April 27th at 3 p.m. as well. And it's being held at the River Run International Film Festival in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So, yeah, it's a film that I really put a lot of heart and soul to, and the guys at Green Arrow Films have done a phenomenal job putting it all together. I'm still overwhelmed by it because I really didn't think – film I've always wanted to do to kind of give back to the fans and family and friends and people that believed in me through the years, but I didn't know if it would actually come to fruition and go down. But now that it's here, it's like it's still kind of overwhelming, but I'm really happy that film-wise I can kind of contribute to inspire others to do what they do. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I think, you know, stories like that is not told, you know, enough. And, you know, that, you know, that's an awesome, you know, idea. And, you know, definitely keep me, you know, posted and update on that, because I definitely want to follow it. I definitely want to show that and recommend, you know, that for even people that audition, you know, going forward. That's, you know, that's something that, you know, when people say that, you know, Hollywood, you know, is a cutthroat business, I mean, it is. Like, it could mm-hmm. make you today and it could break you tomorrow. And,
amen.
You know, some of it, yeah, and some of it is just not of your own doing. It's just about taste. And, you know, if you get, you know, one person that dislike you or don't feel that you marketable enough, and that's, you know, that's it. So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I would recommend, you know, that for any aspiring actor or, you know, anyone. I mean, just anything in the entertainment industry at all. I mean, to really, you know, understand that how you could be on one path today and tomorrow, you know, that path is no longer there. I mean, it's, you know, it's not existing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what happened. So yeah, it's cool. And film festival, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, that's also an excellent idea. I didn't go that route because some of film festival, you have to apply for so many, and you know, you only get so many looks, and you know, not a lot of them is free. And you know, I felt that, you know, no one can market my movie better than me. You know, so you know, maybe
amen.
You know, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. So it's like sometimes, because I've had friends that, you know, went submitted to film festivals and they got a little lazy because they're like, okay, the film festival's going to put it out there. And the film festival's only going to put it out there if they like it. So it's like, I didn't want to fall under that trap. So, you know, so I took the route of, hey, look, I have to be a politician. I have to go knocking on some doors, shake a couple of hands, you know, kiss a few babies, you know what I'm saying, of that, and, you know,
yeah.
Say, okay, hey, give my film a chance. But that is, you know, I am, you know, so happy that, you know, you, you know, you know, allow, you know, them to do better, because I think that's a story that needs to be told, that, you know, everybody always see the glitter that comes along with this, but they don't know the struggle and the, you know, and you know, here today, gone tomorrow. You know, they don't, that's something they don't see. Well, you know, good luck. I mean, I just hope that it can reach as many people and help them get prepared, you know, for it, you know, so.
Thank you so much. You know, if I can inspire just like one person to do what they do and to chase their dreams, you know, that'd be great for me, you know.
Yep. That's my motto. I mean, that's how I look at it too. You know, I mean, when you know, and all for the listeners, I mean, if anything that you do, if you're doing it for your money and you're doing it, you know, just to be noticed, like you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, because, you know, in this business, it don't last long. So you have to do it for the love of it, you know,
right.
I tell people all the time, like, I would do this. If I didn't have to pay to get my movies in the movie theaters, I didn't have to pay to get it made, I would do this for free. You know, I mean, I definitely would, because, you know, I love doing that, because it's a way of being creative and a way of, you know, showing, you know, a person a different way of looking at different things. But yeah, kudos. I mean, you know, I like that. I mean, I'm so happy for you. You know, with this film. I mean, with this documentary.
Oh, thank you
so much.
Reggie, that really means a lot.
Reggie, when you were talking about knocking on some doors, one of the icons that we think a lot of, Edward D. Wood Jr., the great Ed Wood, if you remember back in his film by Johnny Depp. He talked
right.
about Ed Wood knocked on a lot of doors. And, you know, while he was only moderately successful back in his day, you know, enormously successful. When we look at the movie about his life, and the cast, one of the Martin Landau, that's what it took. It just takes knocking on doors, I think. All three of the panel, myself, Papa Stroh, and Dave Atwell, we've knocked on doors, haven't we, guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
It takes 10 years to be overnight success, right?
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah, it just, you know, it just don't happen. And one day you wake up and it's like, okay, wow, I made it. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, if you do it with love and passion and you don't worry about the glory and the money, things like the behind them, and it'll happen for you. You know, I think so many times, so many people, you know, lose their way because, you know, their heart ain't in it, you know, and then you hear people all the time, especially athletes, say, you know, hey, I play football or basketball for free because my heart in it, and that's what you have to do with, you know, with anything that you do. Like, you have to love that, you know, when you have a job, you have to love that job every morning. When you get up and go to that job, you have to love that. And, you know, if you have that love and passion, you'll succeed. So, you know, because I believe, like, hard work, you know what I'm saying, won't get you everything you want, but it'll definitely get you everything you deserve. And, you know, I share that with everybody all the time. It's that I believe that, you know, if you work hard, you know, you get everything you deserve. You might not get everything you want, but you get everything you deserve as long as you work hard for it.
Well put. We've had some great thoughts tonight. I like Dave's overnight sensation takes 10 years, and if you work hard, you get what you deserve. That's probably
right. All you guys gonna be out there in June? Because I'm definitely, definitely put it on my schedule to, you know, to definitely be there. You know, if it's God's will in June, I'll be there. And this is something that you're looking to continue on a yearly basis, you know, this festival?
We sure are.
Yeah,
Papa
Stroh
at the helm, Lyle Blackburn, and the whole cold cast of cool people. Because Lizard Man deserves his due, and so does the creature from Skate War. I think we'll have
they all the same in one. So it's, you know, for me, is, you know, I'm you know, just, you know, want to help bring a brand of entertainment to, you know, to everyone. And you know, I think, you know, well, I know that this would be huge for, you know, for the economy. you know, in the Bishopville and the surrounding areas, you know, going over, like, you know, I have so many friends and family, you know, in the area, and just, you know, they're, you know, just trying to find the right job, and, you know, we're needing more jobs to come into the area, and, you know, who knows? So, you know, all it takes is a spark for people to look at what, you know, the South, you know, I guess it's considered not the South, but it's like the Northeast. Yeah, there are, you know, a lot of nice places that, you know, people can come up and set up shop and, you know, open up businesses and stuff like that.
So, exactly. So we plan to make a difference there and show and let Lizard Man lead the way. So I guess what I'd like to do is, as we kind of wrap up here, we've had some great lessons that we've talked about. You know, we've got a writer, we've got an actor and wrestler, we've got a producer, director, and a writer. Now, one other quick question, Reggie: Are you an actor in the film anywhere? Do you do a cameo like Alfred Hitchcock?
No. Nah, you know what I'm saying? It was hard to resist temptation, but I just didn't want to do that, because that means I would have to have someone else to put on director hat. And I don't see myself, you know, doing that. I mean, I love directing. You know, I mean, yeah. So my acting days is, I think that's, you know, pretty much behind me. So yeah, besides I've learned that the money is, you know, everyone listen, the money is behind the camera. So, you know, get on as a producer, you know, executive producer and things like that, but that's where the money is. So, you know, actors, you normally get paid one time. Not unless you get your contract, you know, I'm molded to where it's okay, you get, you know, residual, something like that. But, you know, all the money's behind the camera. So when I found that out, I'm like, yes, behind the camera is where is where I'm going to stay.
Gotcha. So, tell us just a little bit more about your upcoming project, Reggie. You said you're working on a comedy next.
Yeah, I'm working on a movie called Bonus Check, and that is a comedy, you know, about, you know, a guy named Jonathan Darlin. You know, he worked for a marketing firm that was outsourced, and you know, he was doing clothes on a house and getting married to his childhood sweetheart all at the same time, and months later after finding out that the job is closing. And to make matters worse, you know, he found out that he, you know, wasn't going to get severance or, you know, his last bonus check, you know, prior to the company closing. And so now he's, you know, faced with so many people faced with today after losing a job, like, wow, you know, I my dream house, my dream girl, you know, how do I get that? So he, you know, solicited help from, you know, several friends to try to, you know, get his bonus check back. So, I wrote that, you know, by myself, and it took me a little over 60 days to do that. So now we're casting for that, and you know, people can submit, go to kvproduction.com, and you can also solicit is not a good thing. But you can go there and you can apply for audition, you know, by submitting a videotape. So there's step-by-step instructions on how you can do it using your Vimeo or your YouTube account. And then we'll be in touch. So, I mean, you know, for those that's listening, do it, you know, put your energy, because that tape you send us is, you know, that's going to speak volume. I'm not going to be able to, call you and say, okay, hey, you know, what was this you sent? So it's like you have to, you know, let that tape, you know, be your voice. You know, that would be the step before the step. So, you know, so just look at it as a job interview. So when you, you know, submit that, you know, what's that ink on that black and white piece of paper, you know, that's all what people is going to judge you by. And that's the same thing. So that's what we're going to judge you by as an aspiring actor or actor based off that video. So not to apply any pressure, but, you know, just, you know, be sincere, you know, and, you know, everything else to show, you know, show on camera. And if we like what we see, we'll be in touch. And if not, you know, don't let it discourage you. Keep submitting. You know, there are going to be more projects. You know, my focus is to, you know, to give as many people as I can who just starting or want to get into the business, you know, be that gateway for them to come in. Not only does it helps me, but it also, you know, help other people. So, you know.
Right. Certainly does. And where will this be filmed? Will it be filmed here on the East Coast or out in Hollywood?
Well, we haven't I talked about Miami, Florida, because I want to do it towards the end of the year. So, and Miami, you know, out of all the states in the world, carries the best weather all year round. It rains a lot, but that's, you know, that's one of the talked about places. But, you know, I have to secure a lot of permits and a lot of things for that. But, you know, if I can get it done, you know, towards the end of the year. But a realistic goal would probably be early spring, 2019. But I'm really trying to push that, and if we can get a good turnout for the Lizard Man movie, then, you know, I have a sequel already written and ready to go. It's just whether or not, you know, how much of that money we make back. Through this would be whether or not, you know, I wanted to, you know, push forward. So if, you know, if I get a big enough turnaround and, you know, make back, you know, everything we put in plus a little bit more, then I'm definitely interested in, I mean, I'm definitely going to do a sequel, and then I want to focus primarily on South Carolina, you know, this time. So, so get out, support this film in July, or, you know, certainly say, tell me. You can always go to kvproductions.com or any of our social media and find out what's the latest pertaining to this movie or any other projects that we're working on. And, you know, you can reach me, you know, by going through our website and, you know, submitting, you know, contact us, and, you know, always get and see everything. And, you know, I'm an easy person to talk to. So, and I believe in talking to everyone, because, you know, we all are connected, you know, in this universe in some way or another. And so, you know, I believe everybody have a story to tell, just need a good ear, you know, that's willing to listen to their story. And that's who I am.
Well, thank you very much. We learned a lot about The Creature from Escape War. We learned about you as a director and filmmaker, and we know that you're looking forward to a bright future and doing some things in South Carolina.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you at the Lizard Man Festival. And since that was
definitely
pretty much your plug, I'm going to give a plug to Dave Atwell and then to Papa Stroh. Dave Atwell, what have you got to plug tonight?
Yes, sir. Just the usual, the Hunger series on Amazon. You've got Rotting Frontier, Revolutions, and Ripper, and fourth one soon on the way. Josh Mayers, my good buddy here at home, great artist. Me and him are going to try to do a couple little drop-in appearances here in town, warming up for the two-weekend haul with the Jacksonville Con, June 2nd, and then, of course, down there in Bishopville for the Lizard Man one the following weekend. So looking forward to doing that. And moreover, like I said last week, I just want to say a big happy 71 to my dad, Sergeant Major Bob Atwell, who turned 71 yesterday. Today, Mom and Dad celebrate their 49th wedding anniversary. 49 years, I'm doing good the last 49 minutes, and the thing they ain't gone 49 years is something else. And then my dear Mom Marie will be turning a beautiful 70 Saturday. And I can tell you what, they're fantastic people. And I know it's cliche to blame your folks for your shortcomings. I like to blame my folks for my success. So, you know, they put me on my backside when I needed it. And they supported me when I needed it. And by God, I'm glad to have them, be lost without them. So happy birthday. Happy anniversary. You kids get a room. All right.
Happy birthday. Happy anniversary. Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. Thank you, Dave Atwell. And Papa Stroh, what have you got to plug?
Power Comic Con, April 8th, SIMT Building in Florence, South Carolina. Come see yours truly and all the great talented people on hand there. And be looking on the lookout for the Power Comic Con commercial at the Power Comics Facebook website next week. Myself, Dorothy, and the gang talking to Power Comic Con, April 8th. Also, coming up in April, April's going to be a big month. April 13th, I'm returning to IWWA Pro Wrestling at the Marshall County Fairgrounds in Moundsville, West Virginia. I'm wrestling a rematch from last year against legendary Raging Bull Mandy Fernandez. And April 15th, I'll be returning to Charlotte Comic Con with my fellow cast and crew of the Dust Series. So come on out and join us at Charlotte Comic Con, April 15th. April 21st, I'll be returning to Brewery Championship Wrestling and the Frothy Beard Brewing Company in Charleston, South Carolina. Looking forward to see all the peeps in Charleston. And April 28th, I will be at the Raleigh Cosplay Expo at the Ramada Blue Ridge in Raleigh, North Carolina. And also the dates I mentioned for the premiere of the film documentary, 22nd and 27th of April at the River Run International Film Festival in Winston-Salem, South Carolina, for the Maestro film documentary. And one last thing before I forget, I would like to give a shout out to people that are hurting in the world, that are suffering, that are going through hard times. Just remember that God doesn't make junk, He makes champions. You are somebody in this world, in this life, and you're needed, you're wanted, and you're loved. Never stop believing in yourself, not giving up, because where there's life, there's always hope. So hang in there and be strong.
Amen. Well said.
Word.
That's the best. Those are the best words in the world right there, Papa Stroh.
How can we follow that up?
Well, I'll follow it up. This is Dr. John saying go to Amazon.com. Dave's got his great book series. I've got my first book out in a long, long time, Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends. Go buy yourself a copy. It's on Kindle. It's cheap. It's $3.49. Buy it, review it, and tell everybody it's wonderful if you think so. It's been a lot of fun to write and adding some more stories for the volume 2, which will be coming up in a couple of months. I will be at most all those events Papa Stroh discussed. I will also be April 21st at the Harlan Bigfoot Conference, Harlan, Kentucky, with Matthew Delph of Micro, and we'll have copies of the book. We'll be signing. We'll be having a great time. And that's about what we got. So I would say it is rock and roll for tonight. Reggie, thank you very much for being with us. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
You've learned
a
lot.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you all.
And Pop Stroh and Dave Atwell, we're glad to have you. And we will be here next week, 9 p.m. Eastern on Comic-Con Stars. Folks, have a great evening, and we'll see you again soon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Have a great Easter. Don't eat the brown.